Kedu, Aham Buchezot. I can't even say my name. You guys got me nervous. Oh God, I'm so sorry. Kedu, Aham Buchezot Obene, from Chamor Athletics, the Republic of Ireland.
Chio, you're a history maker. You were the first African-born player to play for the Republic of Ireland. I've no doubt you won't be the last. Can you take us right the way back to your very earliest memories of even growing up in Nigeria?
I do remember quite a bit of Nigeria. We moved to Ireland in 2005, December time. And I remember the time my mom told me, because my dad works, he was here, he's a nurse, and he got a nice job here, and he wanted to bring us over, you know, give us the opportunity in the education. And I think it was a strain because obviously I think I was 8 at that time. There was no build up and I was out playing. So I have two older brothers who will know the build up. I was just out and I come home and my mom said, we're moving. I said, well, we're moving downtown. I said, no, we're going abroad. Obviously I wouldn't have heard of Ireland, you know, 8-year-old just running around. So I remember waking up at 6 a.m. and we were gone. And that was the end of that. We drove from Enugu State to Lagos, and it took us about 11 hours in total to get there. And I was on the plane for the first time. It was very strange. Imagine I landed at Holland, and you know, being honest with you, I think it's the second time I seen white people. So you can imagine what 8-year-old mouth open, just looking at people, and it was quite interesting.
Life in Nigeria was a little bit difficult for me because by then my husband was living in the state of Kuwait. And I'm alone with 5 children, taking them to school, feeding them. When they are sick, I have to take care of them. So it wasn't easy for me.
Life in Nigeria was a bit hard. Yeah, it was a bit hard. There was loads of poverty, but there was also hope as well, and people working hard.
Life was free, you know, as a kid. You just live free, nothing to worry about. You always think you're invincible, but that's pretty much it, really, until we all got the news.
Yeah, I remember coming off the plane, and I saw my dad at the airport. You know, my dad, he traveled a lot and went to Kuwait to study and got a nice job there. I think he's well driven. He's quite driven, like his kids are, like I am, and he was, you know, desperate to give us the best opportunity in life. So I remember seeing him because I didn't see him much as a kid. You know, he was always coming and going. And as a 6-5-year-old, you don't remember much. You just remember you see him and then you see your parent, you see your mom, and you just get on with life.
So when he gave me the idea to relocate to Ireland, I was so happy. I was so happy for my children to enjoy fatherhood.
Our dad got a job as a nurse in Ireland, in Cork. And with that, he could bring us over. So he took advantage of that, and the school system here was superb, so we took advantage of that in school as well, so we went to work.
I know, I remember getting off that plane, the first welcome to Ireland was the cold air.
You just had that cold shiver.
It was horrible for us, but with time we adjusted to it.
I had to start for first class again. Nigeria, funnily enough, you know, most people go to college at, 16, which in Ireland was too young. They said that can't happen. So I had to go back and, you know, restart first class, which I completed already. I believe I was in third class when I left, and I had to go back to first class. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I could pick up, you know, my English.
It was a new adventure for everybody. We're all trying to figure out where we are. Even at my age, I had to start making new friends. Him also had to start making new friends. With the outgoing personality he had, he didn't find it too difficult.
He was mixing up with children in our estate so much that every child comes to look for him. Even at a time when you come to look for a dozer, I will say, go away. He lets him finish his homework before he comes up. Before you know it, a dozer will finish and sneak away to go and play with them.
The doors sometimes were locked to prevent him from going. It could be late, you know, because the pathway to these two Corinthians, for example, was through the woods for him. So our parents was very, you know, anxious of him going out late.
You know, I'd be outside for stupid hours, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in winter time. That's, you know, very dark and it's cold, and my parents used to lock the back door because I would sneak out. And I think it got too much when I was sneaking out through the window to practice. I think
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Self-motivation for a young kid.
I'm a big fan of Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo. I think at the time Ronaldo was at United, and I just watch his clips every day on YouTube and go out in the backyard.
He had this urge and passion to improve himself. And when he saw something Ronaldo does and how effective it is, he would look at me and tell me, Uche, I need to go to Tremor. I need to go to Corinthians to the pitch. I just need to go and just do this.
I think I was 11 years of age. I signed for Tremor Athletic. My older brother, Cody, he signed for Tremor and he was playing. And you know, I go down and watch him, and I was a bit jealous, you know. I want to be doing what he's doing. I want to run around. I want to feel part of a team. And he had training, and he'll tell me I have training, so I can't be here. And I was like, I want to have a schedule.
That's where it basically began, because he would see me go off training. I believe we're training like Tuesdays and Fridays, because we're only under 15s or 14s at the time. So those were only play with the girls and the lads in the green. But after a while, he approached me like, oh, he wanted to join.
So I signed for Tremor. I followed in his footsteps, and I signed for Tremor. And I was at Tremor for 5 years, you know, some fantastic years there, you know, playing and, you know, as a kid, playing, winning some trophies, winning some divisional titles. And I think that's where it began. I started falling in love with the game.
From a young age, he'd call over to my house in the morning for when we played matches. He'd have to be over at my house like at 8:30, because we'd have to come down and put up the goals, put up the nets, corner flags, and he'd be running around with my son and one or two other people who'd come down to help.
When he started, like, I would say now that I played football, but I have two left feet. I was just going to play for fun, but with Edoze, there was something different about him. He had the energy, the drive, and just the motivation from a young kid, and he just wanted to do better. And as he was running around like a lunatic in the grass, that just gave him more motivation to keep going.
I could see from talking to him, he was hungry. I always knew that was a kind of anything you ever heard or read about the best players, what was their trait? They're hungry. And you always knew he was hungry. He wanted to improve. If I said something to him, you knew he was tuned in and he could take it on board. You know, some kids, you could be talking to the wall with them, you know, like in a nice way, if you know what I mean. Like, they're just not gonna, they just want to play. But you know, if you told him, look, they're pushing up, we'll go over the top, don't go offside, he never went offside. He was cute that way.
He was playing both Gaelic and soccer at the same time. So most of the time he was occupied, either going for training for Gaelic or going for training for soccer.
You were a great Gaelic footballer as well with Nemo Rangers. What are your memories of your time with Nemo, and how close, how much of a sliding doors moment was there in your life where you could have actually been lining out for Cork in Gaelic football rather than for Cork City?
No, Gaelic was something I loved so much, and I think it was difficult to leave Gaelic football because I loved it so much. But I think it was 19, I just knew I couldn't sustain. It was not sustainable to play both sports. And played many years, and I think Charlie McLaughlin was my PE teacher in Bonskull. He brought me to Nemo for a first training session. And Peter Noonan, funny enough, Session Noonan's dad was my manager, and he was my neighbor. So I remember he used to always bring me to training. And he used to get really upset. He used to say to, well, obviously he tells me now, but he never told me when I was younger. I used to get really upset because I would alternate both sports, because I was a people pleaser. I was trying to keep everyone happy. You know, sometimes I go, or sometimes I don't. And I remember he used to, you know, always beg me, trying to trick me with like a chocolate bar. That he's bribing me. If I come, he'll give me a chocolate bar. And you know, we make fun and jokes about it. But Gaelic football was, you know, I played all the years, and I think I got to 18, 19, and I had to decide.
During the time that he had to choose between Gaelic or soccer, that was very difficult for him. And I saw that.
Unfortunately, he had decisions to make, but you'll always have decisions to make when you're good and everybody wants you, you know?
It was a tough time. He cried. He cried on it. And I just told him, you know what? It's your decision only to make. Nobody else's. Nobody got you here other than yourself. You decide what path you want to take.
The people that came to me or was advising me is for him to play Gaelic. but he preferred soccer. So I was telling them that I'm not the one playing the football in the field. He is the one. So the one he prefers, I will support him.
He also knew that he wanted to pursue a career that could also provide for his family one day. And he had that in mind. So soccer gave him that that window. He knew he was good in both, but that was the determining factor for him.
He loved the soccer, I think. I think just the soccer won out for him. And you have to take into account, he didn't have an easy ride. It wasn't like he was a superstar and he went to England. He didn't go to the Manchester City Academy or anything, you know. He had to go play for Cork City, fight to get on the team.
So whenever he retires from football, he can always go back playing the junior A's or junior B's in the new one. So that's about that, really.
Your heritage is a very personal thing, and nationality can be both a personal thing but also something that can split and divide people. Was it a straightforward decision for you to play for Ireland?
I'm going to be honest with you, it was not. It was not as straightforward because I know, you know, as I said, you know, I wanted to make my father proud, and I know how, you know, a really, you know, proud Nigerian he is, and, you know, all his life was in Nigeria, so he saw everything in Nigeria, so I wanted to make them proud. And, you know, I think Mr. Stephen Kenny was back and forth with me. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not an easy decision to make. I need to think about it. I need to sit with my family. You know, my parents were both supportive. They wanted the best for me. So it was my decision. I know they were very happy that Ireland came in. They were pushing me to go. But, you know, secretly, as a son, you want to, you know, make your parents proud. And I felt at that time, maybe, you know, choosing for Nigeria wouldn't make them proud. But I think they were proud either way. I think they were over the moon. And now they look back on it, they're the happiest parents that I chose Ireland, because they can come and watch the games and they always be there. So
he would, to a great extent, call Ireland his home, because the core memories he's established as a teenager were here. So to represent Ireland was to represent all those people that gave him support.
It was not difficult, but it is, because the father wanted him to play for our country. But I told him that you grew up here. You don't know anybody in our country. So it's better you play with people you grew up with. So, and the siblings encouraged him to play with them. So we won the father.
How do you reflect on your debut, that game against Hungary, which is, you know, an incredible achievement for anybody to play international football? But at the same time, I don't know, do you reflect that it was, I don't want to say tarnished, but because of the racist abuse that was in the stadium that night, you know, we do look back at that game with, I think, a lot of horror as to what happened. How do you sort of, a year and a bit on, think back as to what that night was like for you and your family?
Oh, I remember when we took the knee, and there was a lot of whistling and all booing. And I think that gave me a drive in my gut. And I think when we took the knee, because we could have easily not taken the knee to avoid those situations. I think by us taking the knee, we're showing an example to the world what we're trying to do. And, you know, we're leaving the past behind us. And I think I would hope that they learn from that. And I think I took huge, you know, I almost got emotional because how everyone was together and we all decided to take the knee. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was quite nervous because, you know, I was quite nervous what the reaction would be.
I think that had some effect on him, with the fact that, you know, he knew, being the firstborn, you know, African to represent his country, you know, that was a big thing for him, and he was very proud of that. So that kind of clashed with his emotions with that regard, and I would think that affected him to some level, and I think that's why he spoke out about it.
When I knew we were changing for the good is when Seamus Coleman pulled me and he said, no matter what, we're taking the knee. And it's when the other, you know, other guys who are fighting for your cause, you know, are pushing you the most, is when you get really emotional and you know what it means to you. And I think that was the highlight of the night, when everyone stood together no matter what. And, you know, I was hoping I'd come on and score, really. But, you know, to make my debut, I don't think about that. I just think about the occasion. It was a special occasion for me. I think it was my first camp, and I, you know, trying to impress, and I think it was the best camp I've been in and what we're trying to achieve. And fast forward a year later, that all started from that camp. And, you know, I'm truly blessed to be where I am.
Representing Ireland and becoming the first African-born player to represent Ireland, what does that mean to you? Does it mean something different? Do you feel the weight of the community that you're representing when you pull on the jersey?
I think you don't understand the amount of how proud I am, the honor and the pride, you know, it fills me with. I remember playing, you know, I came on against Hungary and Kevin Pullman said, you're the first African-born player. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know Paul McGrath and all these players, you know, have come, but he said, you're the first born African player. It's not unheard of. So it was a huge pride, you know, moment for my family. I can imagine, you know, calling my mother and my father, how they felt.
I was a very proud brother, I tell you that now. It was a very proud moment for the whole family. We're all here cheering on.
Yes, you're proud that he's played for Ireland, but you're proud that he's a good young man too, you know?
No, I think he's a really great role model for kids, for Irish kids, and he really demonstrates that in his actions. But yeah, you know, it's very humbling to be known as Dozie's brother. Very, very humbling.
That destiny can be delayed, but not changed. The way he was doing it is his destiny.
I think it was something special for me to carry that burden, you know, to show the way to, you know, the next generation. And it just shows what, you know, what kind of nation we are in. You know, we're trying to integrate, we're trying to move forward from, you know, what used to be the past. And it's just amazing what kind of players we have here and, you know, the kind of culture we're trying to bring. And I can remember making that phone call. My mom was over the moon. She was, you know, tearing up on the phone. And, you know, my cousins all reached out from Nigeria, how proud they are. So I think we're joined forces now. We've joined forces, but it's, you know, it was a special moment.